You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in the book of Ephesians tonight. We're beginning our series. Brother Eddie called to Ron. I don't know why I'm calling you out, but I've been just rejoicing watching you back there tonight. You've got a good family. Thank God for you, for your faithfulness, all you do in the Spanish and what you do over here as well. Thank God for all of you tonight. You're great people. We have our seniors that are out of town. They're at Gethsemane Baptist tonight and Long Beach, and they'll be getting home on Tuesday. Brother Panera, the Fullers, the other folks that are with them, they love your kids. But when they get home, you pick up your kids because they're done loving your kids, I guess. Carissa, did he say your mom and dad were from Texas and now they're in Southern California? So you're moving closer to us, aren't you? Next move is Santa Clara, California. Jericho, you're going to have your mother-in-law living with you pretty soon, brother. That'll be a blessing. That'll be great. Well, I appreciate all of you so much. We did well in East Palo Alto today, and we did well in Tracy today, and the buses did well, and the Spanish ministry at the other property did well. Soul winning went well. And tonight we begin a series. Let's read together. Remain seated. Ephesians 1. Let's read verses 1 through 6. Now we're going to cover more than that, but I want to read those verses together. Ready? Begin. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the great North Valley Baptist Church. I witnessed it again over the last several weeks, and last week this place was packed with visitors and God's people were so good to them. I thank you for them. Help us with the finances, God, to take care of that conference now. Help us with the President's Club. God, give us many. But now as we approach the Word of God, this book of Ephesians, may it come alive to us is my prayer. For we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We do begin a series in Ephesians tonight. Every Sunday night we'll be in this book for several weeks and months, perhaps as follows. The Apostle Paul spent more time at Ephesus than any other church. This is a prison epistle. And so it's about 62, 63, 64 AD. And Paul's in jail. His head's going to roll from his body. It's also the church that he mentions in the book of Revelation in chapter number 2, verse 1 through 7, that the church at Ephesus had lost their first love. It was a great church, a wonderful church, but they just got a little bit cold towards soul winning in particular. That you can look at Revelation chapter 2 for that. Ephesus was a great seaport town, great city, large city. They had, and they've uncovered it in excavation, they had a theater that sat 24,000 people in the theater. They had a huge library, and they've uncovered all the artifacts of this, and just an amazing thing. It was a very wealthy city. They had money. It was like I would consider today to be the Silicon Valley. They were rolling, they were going, they had good jobs, they had good money, but they left their first love. And when the church loses her way, the people lose their way. Amen. Let me say that again. When the church loses her way, the people lose their way. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There's 118 days until July 4th, and I'm asking you, all of us, to pray every day for this America, that America would come back to God. Well, here is Ephesus before us tonight. It's a powerful book. Go back with me by way of introduction to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Will you turn there quickly? Keep your hand there. We're coming right back here. We'll get to preaching momentarily. But Acts chapter 20. And notice as the Ephesian elders came to see Paul. Verse 17. Acts 20, 17. Acts 20 is my favorite chapter in the book of Acts. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know that from the first day I came into Asia, what manner of, I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and many tears and temptation trials, which befell me, the lion of the way to the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from the house to house. We're going to continue to reading. But he's talking to this church at Ephesus. Since you know how I served God. I had humility, but I served God. I loved him, and I loved you, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every saying, in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Hold it right there. And so we get that he says, I know what's ahead of me. I know I'm going to bonds and I know I'm going to afflictions. It's no big deal. That's what God's plan is for my life. And then look at my life verse. Took me all these years. About 4 years ago, I preached the message for this verse. It took me my entire lifetime to realize this is the verse that a college president gave me when I graduated from Bible college. My diploma has a little 3x5 card with an old manual typewriter. They typed this verse in there. And I've quoted it all through. I've preached it so many times. The Bible says in verse number 20, but none of these things, none of these trials, none of these afflictions, none of them move me, neither count of my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want to finish my course with joy. I don't want to be an old sourpuss. I don't want to be an old grump. I don't want to be a man that's all moody and upset, ups and downs, and he governs his day by the weather. I want to just be rejoicing in the Lord always. Oh, yes. Every day there's trials. Every day there's disappointments. Every day there's betrayal. That's part of life. But I'm going to finish my joy, and I'm going to do it with joy. Amen. I'm going to be a happy camper as I make that journey. Well, back to the book of Ephesians. So he's writing to the Ephesian elders. This book of Ephesians is 6 chapters. You're going to find the word grace is mentioned 13 times. You're going to find so many different things that are mentioned over and over. I've got underlined in red every time it says he or him. It's just loaded in this. Maybe perhaps this week you could read these 6 chapters and underscore it. But today, as we speak about, I'm coming to this subject tonight, a good Christian. A good Christian. I want to be a good Christian. I'm not. I fail so much. I get so weary of myself. I was in my ready room praying tonight. I said, Lord, I'm just so disappointed with me. I want to be what you want me to be. And I want to be a good Christian. Aren't we weak? Amen. Prone to wander? Lord, I feel it. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a solid Christian. And my Bible tells us today that being a good Christian means that God, number one, has a plan for all of our lives. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. It might be that you're a police officer. It might be your computer program. That's God's plan for your life. But it may be, on top of that, you're a Sunday school teacher. That's God's plan. Or a bus driver, amen. That's God's plan. Or an usher, or an instrumentalist, or a choir member, or whatever it may. But God has a plan. Notice in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the what? Will of God. A will of God. God has a will for your life. A will is a purpose. We've heard it over and over and over in this pulpit. It's a plan. God has a plan for your life. You college students are scattered throughout here. I don't know God's plan for your life. But in these days that you're here in college, God's going to reveal it. I had a young boy come up to me this week and said at pastor's conference, not only am I coming to Golden State, I'm coming with a plan, a purpose, because God called me to the mission field. Well, praise God for that. God called me to the mission field. And if he can get trained and prepared and get out on the mission field, Brother Galvan, your brother David, he skipped being an assistant pastor. He should have been an assistant pastor. He would have learned more. But he said, I got to get to Estonia, I believe he's going. And your mom told me he's already got 30%, just graduated in May. He's got 30% of his support, and he's going to get support from us as well. You know, thank God. God has a will for your life. Are you in the will of God? Notice what the Bible says, chapter 1, verse 1, the will of God. Chapter 1, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Christ according to the good pleasure of his what? Of his will. Look at verse number 9, please. Having made known unto us the mystery of what? His will. Look at verse number 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own, what? His own will. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 17. You're doing great. 5:17. The Bible says, wherefore be not unwise in understanding what the will of the Lord is. Chapter 6, verse 6, please. 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. God has a will for your life. God has a will for my life. You know, I don't know if I just stumbled into it or not. When I came here, I knew I wanted to preach, but I guess I felt like I was supposed to be a pastor. I don't know. I just knew I wanted to preach God's word. And you know, the longer I was here, it really took me about 10 years to get anchored in here. It took me about 10 years of my life to understand my wife. We had a good marriage. We loved one another. But it's like a light switch went on after 10 years. And I understood how to talk to her. I understood. We weren't arguing. We weren't fighting. We weren't upset. But it was like 10 years. Would you be patient with yourself? Would you just be patient? And it was a couple years later, and 10 years, I was pastoring this church. I knew I was in the plan of God for my life. I knew this was my life calling. But it was like a light went on. I understood the ministry. I understood the preachers I could come in here and I could not have in here. They're all good men, but I just understood where I was going. I understood. I made a decision in those days. I was going to stop having evangelists. I'm not against the evangelist. I'm all for the event. But I began to have preachers in to preach revival meetings. Pastors pastoring churches. And it was like a light went on. I don't know if that's how it is in your life. You may not know. I don't know the will of God. I'm a sophomore in Bible college. I'm a junior. I'm a senior. I don't know the will of God. You'll find out. I've been in the way the Lord led me. Just get in the way of God. Start doing his work. I started pastoring 50 years ago last week. And I loved it. In one day, on February the 8th, I preached three times in one day. 50 years ago, February 8th, at this church. And I preached those three times. I know my messages. One of these days, I'm going to copy them off for you. I'll give you my outline. From those days, we've got them in print. For the originals. And I preached behind that pulpit that was right back there in that lobby. That's my actual pulpit 50 years ago. And I preached the word of God. I preached from Acts chapter 12 in Sunday school. I preached from John 3:16. About 20 people in the auditorium, five came forward. Five adults came forward to get saved that Sunday morning. And then I preached Sunday night on the warfare of God, getting dressed for success in Ephesians chapter number 6. I loved it. And I got home that night, and Brother Reimers, I said, Lord, I'd like to do this the rest of my life. I'd love to do this. And I loved getting up on Monday morning. I love Monday morning. I don't want to sleep in on Monday morning. I'm so fired up because I'm in the will of God. Are you in the will of God tonight? Are you doing the will of God? God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. I believe we ought to have some folks come forward tonight and say, I'm surrendering to the will of God. The will of God right now is that, Brother Flood, I need to take a bus route. I need to reach these little boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need to tell them that God can change their life. I need to tell them the good news. I need to win the mamas to Christ, their daddies to Christ, their parents to Christ, their grandmas to Christ, their aunts and uncles, and those bus kids. I need to win them to Christ. We've got to get some folks. There's some folks here that say, I'm burdened by the bus kids. That's the will of God for my life right now. Well, then fulfill the will of God. I'm burdened. Brother John Morris and I were talking. He's been a kindergarten Sunday school teacher for 40 some years, I believe. He taught all three of our children and all three of our, most of our in-law kids. And Ryan, I know he taught him. And now they're all in the ministry. They're nearing 50 years of age. But that's the will of God for his life. He's fulfilling the will of God. Some of you folks, you're in the prime timers, Brother Martinez. You're going next week, Tuesday, to Pebble Beach area. It's going to be wonderful. But you're prime timers now. You're retired. I'll tell you what, I've never seen a church like this. We have so many retired people. I think over 55 people are retired in our church. And they're all, most every single one of them are doing something for the cause of Christ. That's the will of God for their life. I wonder, is this the girl you're supposed to date? Is this the girl you're supposed to marry? I'd like to, you know, we got so many perfect, beautiful, godly, virtuous young girls in our college. I'd like to say, okay, Ralph, you marry her. And Ralphie, you marry this one. And Ralphette, you marry. I wish I could get you guys to open your eyes. What in the world are you looking for? Amen. The will of God. The will of God. Amen. Oh, 53 years ago, I married that girl. And that first year, we weren't going to divorce, but I thought, what have I done? She just doesn't obey. I mean, I say something, and she's supposed to jump. And she said one day, she goes, you didn't marry a jumper. Well, thanks for the obvious, Cindy Sue. I mean, good night. And I was so proud and so arrogant. We weren't fighting every day. We never went to bed mad at one another. We always had prayer every night. But I tell you, I'd get frustrated with her. I couldn't change her. That's the goal of every man, to change his wife. Amen. You guys are such cowards. You're cowards. Boy, you're a coward. Give me an amen on that, boy. Go ahead. Just give me an amen. 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 Yeah. He goes. That's it. That's the way. That's a case of the smarts right there. That's not a case of the stupids. I married the will of God for my life. I'm so thankful for that. God says his plan is his will. Not only is his plan his will, but I want you to know his peace. Look what it says. Verse 2, grace be unto you, and what's the next word? Peace. God wants you to experience the peace of God. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight, rolls a melody sweeter than song. Peace, peace. When I came here, after a year or two, the eight tracks came out. We had one, we had the office, and the garage was turned into office, and we cut a hole there into the family room, and we had all of our offices in a house. And I remember putting that eight track in. We had 2 8 tracks, and my goal is to just play them all day long. And that song, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace, was on that 8-track. And I'd hear it all day long. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Peace is that inner calm. Amen. Why are you so agitated? What are you agitated about? Don't get agitated at your job. Don't get agitated at your boss. Don't get agitated with your mother, your dad. Don't get agitated with your son or your daughter. Just calm down. Amen. Calm down. God says His plan is His will. His peace is that you might have that inner calm. He doesn't want you agitated. Paul knew his head was going to roll. He said, not knowing the things that befall me there in Jerusalem, save that the Holy Spirit beareth witness that bonds and affliction of divine, I'm going to be arrested. And here I am in prison. I know what's ahead of me. But he had such a peace. When you, watch it, don't have peace, you don't have the peace of God. You may have peace with God, that was made at salvation, but you don't have the peace of God. I'm telling you, this woman that I'm married to, I'm so frustrated with her. God gave you that wife. It's sort of the illustration. I called my dad in Bible college. I said, Dad, I got a roommate. He stinks. He literally stinks. He smells. And he goes to work at a new place called Kentucky Fried Chicken. They just came out. And he comes home at 11:30 at night and brings that chicken. He's full of oil and he never showers. He stinks. I hate it. I'm going to go ask for a different roommate. My dad said, why would you do that, son? Do you realize that God gave you that roommate? No, Dad, the dean of men gave me that roommate. No, God gave you that roommate. Because that roommate's going to prepare you for life. Maybe one day, son, you'll get married and you don't like the fact that your wife does something and you're going to get upset. You don't get rid of your wife. You know, that man became a shower, but he became a mighty preacher for God. I'm glad I obeyed my dad. It didn't change all that semester. It didn't change that entire year. Oh, in that winter, it was so icy snow. We'd open our window because he was coming home. And it would stink. And he goes, it's cold in here. And shut the window. I said, what's he doing? Oh, stunk. God has a plan for your life. God has a peace in your life. Do you have peace, college students? Do you truly have peace? The peace of God. And then thirdly, I find that God's position, a good Christian, our position, it's in Christ. Look up here for a moment. We use that word, I'm into sports. I'm into business. I'm in medicine. We've got almost 100 people in this church, maybe 80 some, that are in medicine. That's what you're in. You're in medicine. You're in the computer field. You're in these things. But where it all begins is to be in Christ. Follow with me, please. The Bible says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What's the next two words? In Christ. Look at verse number 4. According to his chosen us in him before the foundation, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And notice what it says in verse number 9 and verse number 12, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all one things in Christ, in him. Look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of him who first trusted where? In Christ. Look at verse number 20. And he wrought in Christ. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse number 6. And he hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ. Verse number 13. But now in Christ. Look at chapter number 3, verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body partakers of his promise in Christ. Verse number 11, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ. Do you get the idea that we're in Christ?
Amen.
What are you in? I'm into sports, but be in Christ first. I'm into business, but be in Christ first. I'm into medicine, but be in Christ first. I don't know if there's a better church in all the world for this. I know I go to the hospital and I see a lot of you folks working in these hospitals around here, and I know every one of you has a witness for Christ at work. And I know you got to be careful about it, but they all know you're Christian. They all know that you love God. Because why? You're in Christ. If any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be what? In Christ. He's a new creation. I'm in Christ tonight. I want to tell you something. Here's a good thing. I'm almost done. God has a plan for my life. It's his will. God has a peace for my life that I've got this inner calm. And God has a position. My position is to be in Christ. Put yourself into Christ this week.
Amen.
Get in his word every morning.
Amen.
Get in his prayer closet every day. Pray for your America. Pray for your church. Amen. I just truly believe the greatest days of our church are still yet ahead. I see the touch of God on so many people's lives here. I see God doing things. By the way, let's end with one more God's praise. See, if I'm a good Christian, I'll have his plan. I'll have his peace. I'll have his position. But I'll have God's praise. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We used to sing a lot in our church, praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Oh, I tell you what, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Everything that God has done in my life is his blessings. God has blessed me. God has blessed me. I get amazed because I know my frailty. I know how weak I am. I want God to bless me so that you might have the overflow of God's blessing in my life.
Praise God.
I look at what God has done here in the heart. I mean, we are the heart of the Silicon Valley. You draw a map of 3 miles around this church, you'll find every major computer company in the world here. You'll find Google here, you'll find Apple here, you'll find HP here, you'll find Facebook, you'll find them all right here within 3 or 4 miles. This is the center. The airport, International Airport, is right here. I might be wrong. I think it's number 6, the largest international airport in the nation. Shipping computers out, shipping things out. I might be wrong on that. I think it's number 6. God's blessed us. We own, think of this. I know it may not sound like a lot to you. I was talking to these preachers up here. I said, brother, we had a forum, and I said, Brother Cox, tell us how many, I think he owns 50 acres. How many acres, brother? I think 80 acres. All of them, we own 7.25 acres in the heart of the Silicon Valley. There was a time when there was land left that an acre was going for about $2 to $2.5 million, but there's no land left. This land is so valuable. We have 250,000 feet of space, and we built 250,000 square feet of buildings. That's a lot of buildings. I mean, it's a lot of buildings. 66,000 over there, all these buildings in this property. And it's all paid for. That's the grace of God. We have all those beautiful 30 bus routes, 29 bus routes, and all those buses are beautiful and they all run. We have all those beautiful shuttles and they all are beautiful. We have a publications. We have a 24-hour day radio station. God, so we have missions that's going around the globe. And I tell you what, I'm getting more people saying, I'm going to build a church in the Philippines. And we're not even working on that project yet, but money is coming in already. I had a listener send in quite a bit of money, said, I want to be part of that. Thank God for that. Thank God for this goodness to us. I had a preacher this week said, Brother Treber, we just inherited, I forget how much, but the lady, she's been in this church for 50 years, and he said, she's the most godly lady, she just passed away, and she has no family. She left all of her house and everything to the church. God's good to us.
Amen.
God is so good to us. Count your blessings.
Amen.
Name them one by one. Oh, I know you're going through a hard time with your son. I know you are. I pray for you. I know you're going through a hard time with your daughter. I pray for you. God knows I do. I know you're going through a hard time with your dad or your mom or your marriage. I know that. But you're still here. And I thank God for you. You have a pastor that loves you and prays for you. But in the midst of all the sorrow, that God still blessed you so much. I can't believe I closed. I can't believe I'm still here. I'll tell you a story briefly and I'll let you go. I've never said it really from the pulpit just a few times, but 40 years ago I got these four different types of arthritis and it just covers my whole body. I'm just in pain 24 hours a day. And I remember going to see a doctor in my late 30s, early 40s. And he said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. If you make it to 60, you're going to be in a wheelchair. I'll never forget, I've never told this story. I'm old enough now, I can tell it. But he said, you're going to be in a wheelchair. It just really disappointed me. I never told anybody. I didn't tell my wife that story. And it burdened me. But you know, here I am, whatever age I am. You get a certain age, you don't tell your age anymore, right, Brother Pecho? But I'm old. I've outlived what the Bible says. And I'm on a medication. I had to get off. It didn't work. Nothing worked for me. I'm on a medication. I'm healthy. I've got a strong heart, got a strong pulse. I've got good blood pressure. I'm going to live. You're not going to believe this. I'm going to live the rest of my life. And as long as I'm not a bother to you, I don't want to ever bother this church. I don't want to ever lose it. And we've got to talk to him about it. He's got to get, I won't overstay, but I'll tell you what, I have more energy, more fire, more zeal, more desire than I've ever had. And I want you to know that God's blessed me. God has blessed me. And God's blessed you too. There's a good Christian. The plan of God. The peace of God. And then the position of God in Him. And then God has a program for your life and God has a praise in your life. Father, I thank you for the Bible. I pray as we study the book of Ephesians together, it come alive to us. God, help us to be in your will. May every student, high school, elementary, college, may they desire your will more than anything. God, may you make your will known. I knew after 10 years pastoring, I knew I was in the center of your will. I sort of sensed it, but I knew exactly. I knew I was going to stay here. I just knew it. I knew that you'd call me here. I'm just so very grateful. Because that's your will for my life. I've lived your will. God, help them to find the will. And as they don't, when you're silent to them, and they don't know the will of God, help them just keep doing what they're supposed to do. They'll discover it.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.